This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Lorraine Holtham.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Lorraine, you've been telling us in previous recordings about your earlier life here in Palmerston North, but you did various different jobs, didn't you, once you'd left school?
Yes, I did. My first job when I left school was with Gough and Hamer, who sold farming implements. They were situated in Rangitiki Street, which was a very, very busy street in those years.
You're talking about the early 1950s?
Yes, it would have been. And I wasn't there very long. I did typed up invoices for various people. Of course, I was a junior. Mm-hmm. That's all right. So was another girl that had been in my class. The both of us started there at the same time.
Yeah. Was it mainly girls or women doing the clerical work?
Yes, although the manager was a man, of course. Mm. These days you might get a woman.
Yes.
But anyway, but I wasn't there very long because there had been a bit of a dispute with the other senior ladies that were there who were unhappy. I don't know whether it was with their wages that they hadn't had a rise or something. So one of them suggested that we all say we were going to go on strike. So I didn't know anything about this, but went along with the rest of them.
This was after the waterfront strike and so on?
I don't remember. It would have been early 1950s, may have been 1950.
Yeah, okay.
And so I went along with the strike. Anyway, something was resolved. I wasn't personally asked about anything until the other girls were quite happy with whatever had been proposed, and the manager came and said, and you are staying on too? And I said, no. I said I was going to leave, and I will leave. So I did.
Why was that?
Well, pride wouldn't let me back down.
you mean the agreement was a...
so I left, and I got another job in an office.
Now just what you said, that there were older women. Were they married women, or was it they'd be single, and then once they got married, they'd leave? Or
no,
the job
they
was
weren't. There was none of them were married. There were three other women that were older. Mm-hmm. One was engaged to be married, but the others were just... They were just older. Yeah. I suppose they were in their early 20s.
Ah, okay. Yep. Yeah,
possibly. Mm. Yeah, so...
would that be late to be single in those days then, do you think?
No, probably not. That would be about average,
okay,
I would say. Mm. Yes, but to be married early, as I was very, very common. Very common.
Yeah.
And large families also were very common. I came from a family of six, and my husband was was of a family of eight.
Yeah, that's the number of children. Yeah.
Eight children.
Yeah.
And at the school that I'd gone to, the primary school especially, big families were very, very common.
Yeah.
Very common, you know, to have... 6, 8, maybe 10 children. In fact, the custodian, I may have said that in a previous time, had 12. Children. Two of his daughters were in the same class as me. Yeah. Anyway, that's backtracking a bit.
But there wasn't the big issue there now that people might be thinking, well, there's all the cost of university and the... If the children get married or they settle and they want to buy a house, the problem of buying a house and so on. It was a bit different in those days, you think?
Very different. Yeah. Yes, very different. anyhow, that... now, where did I get to? I did get another job yep. in an office, but it was the man that employed me was, it was with the farming community. He was a photographer, and he used to write columns too for one of the papers, the agricultural paper. The name alludes, the farmer, the agricultural farmer or something, or the farmer, I think it was called. There were two other men on the staff, his oldest daughter and myself. And I liked the job very much. I enjoyed it. Used to bike to work. He had an office in Cuba Street. No, not Cuba Street. Rangitiki Street. On the corner of Cuba and Rangitiki Street, there used to be a bank. Can't remember now what the name of the bank was. Commercial? No. Anyway, there was a bank there, and there were offices upstairs, and that's where I was. So I was there for a couple of years and only, and then I got married. Met my husband at a Speedway meet I'd gone to with my older sister. She had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend, my husband, was his friend, so then they lived in the same street. So that's what we did. And, you know, I was only 17. My mother wasn't very thrilled about it, but my father thought it was great.
You felt in a hurry to get married, or it seemed the right thing to do?
I had known him for... I'd met him while I was still at high school, and we used to go to the pictures. That was the common thing to do. He didn't dance because dances were very common too. So Friday night, Saturday nights, you did one or the other. But on a Saturday night, they used to have the Speedway meetings, and that's where I met him. So actually, by the time that we got married, I'd have known him for about 2.5 years. And we used to go roller skating, and this was Harold Webster had a skating rink, which was actually down an alleyway off Cuba Street. This building, which I don't know what it had been in a previous time, possibly a warehouse, I don't know, but you had to go up some very rickety stairs on the outside, wooden stairs, into this building where the skating rink was, quite a sizable one.
Oh, so it was upstairs?
It was upstairs, yes. And whenever we went there, there was always a queue outside waiting to go up and go in. I can't remember what the cost was to go
in. So there was a quota on how many people could be on the...
No, waiting for it to open. Waiting for it to open. And
so we'd open in the evenings, was it, or a daytime activity?
Just the evenings, I think. It might have opened maybe 6 or 7 o'clock. Yes, in the evenings. And we would go up there. They had a hockey team.
You go out and there was general roller skating,
yes,
and there was any of the fancy thing. Well, you had there was roller hockey, would you call it?
Had a hockey team, or they must have had two to play one against the other. The men, no women, and you could hire skates, which I had to do because I didn't have roller skates. You could hire skates, and I can't remember how much it was. Might have been 2 shillings or something like that, because this was all pre-decimal. But it was always busy, busy, busy. Always very busy up there. There was no lack of people going there. My husband's oldest brother was a very, very good skater. He could do the splits on skates. He was in one of the hockey teams. But some of the men were very good, but they didn't do the sort of thing that was competitive skating.
Yeah. Circuit figure skating.
They may have had speed skating. Trying to think whether the room was big enough for that. Maybe not. Yeah. It was quite big. There were benches all around the outside where you could sit if you were watching.
Yeah.
And way betide anybody that was going to fall over, you just lifted your legs up.
There was no barrier then?
No. Yeah. It was just the seats were around the outside of the walls.
And the roller skates, they were sort of, is it four wheels, two pairs on an axle rather than the inline sort of skates?
The old style roller skates. They were four wheels and you could strap them on.
Yeah. Was there a sort of stopping button at the toe? That's something that's common now, or you just tip the...
They actually had that. I know that the skates were adjustable, so that in the middle, you could lengthen them or shorten them, and other than that, you strap them onto your shoes. And a lot of people did that. There were some people that went up there that had their own skates. My husband didn't, but his brother did. And in fact, his whole family could skate. Anyhow, in later years, two of my own children went into roller skating, but that was a long time later.
I know someone else who was very involved. There was a lot of competition skating around the country, I think, and an active group in Palmerston North involved in that. But that was much later, I think.
Yes, well, he wasn't. That was would have been 19... In the 60s, 70s, maybe. Doesn't have the date on it.
A photograph, yep. Ah, okay. this is a photograph of the New Zealand Roller Skating Association, and it's pairs, boy and girl, and so this was some sort of roller skate dancing type of routines they would have. You've got first, second and third here with three pairs of youngsters who are probably about 10, 12
years
old.
These are those two.
Oh, brother and sister, they competed together as a pair?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And what were they doing?
Don't know whether they were dance pairs at that stage. There's no date that I can see on there that I can remember.
That's how old would they be? Probably about 10 years old or so would they be?
My daughter was the older of the two. Alan was the younger. So she would have been 12 and he would have been 10.
Okay.
About that, yes. Yeah. I don't think that the date is even up the top there. I don't know whether it's got New Zealand championships.
Very good.
That would have been late 1960s. I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I'm going by the date of when we moved into this house, which was 1962. And so it would have been later than that.
So your daughter would be coming up to 60 now, would she?
She'd have turned 60.
Turned 60, yeah, okay.
So. But she's both of them have passed away.
That's very sad.
It is very sad.
So that was a big activity for people, the roller skating.
Now, that particular skating rink for them was in Waldegrave Street in the Barber Hall.
Was
it the Barber Hall?
I think it's probably still happening there.
Hall, and they had a woman called Avis Bell, who has also passed away. She used to run the skating rink with her father, but mostly her parents used to support her too. Mm-hmm. She had been a champion skater herself at some time and had gone over to... I think she had competed in Spain at some time. But anyway, she had this, and these my two children had private lessons for a little while. Mm. They did pairs, they did figure skating, they did dance. The figure skating at that time was supposed to be, well, she was training them to do lifts, and it was round about that time I think my son decided it. His sister was older and he wasn't going to be lifting her because she was a big lump. His words,
yeah.
But...
yeah, she is slightly taller than him in the,
yes,
the photo.
Well, she was,
right? Yeah.
She was 2 years older than him.
Yes. Yeah.
And she wasn't a big lump at all, but I suppose because he was younger,
it
he thought
seem
she
like
was.
It, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But he was a natural skater. He just... When I first took him to the skating rink, he put a pair of skates on and got up and skated around the rink as I had been doing it for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but she took a little bit longer when she started. Yeah. So we did that. They competed in the New Zealand Nationals in Napier 1 year and did very well. They got second in that in the division.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had a lot of medals, which I've now given to another member of the family who was interested in them.
But you'd just done, yourself, you'd just done sort of social roller skating, did you?
Or? Yes, I couldn't do anything else. I think my husband's older brother... He was very good. His girlfriend used to go too. Neither of us could skate very well, but he was a very good skater. And he said, I'll teach you how to go backwards. I wasn't too keen about this, but he would take me round.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was not, you know, no, it was very, very basic, what I did anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And have you followed roller skating since that time? No,
no,
it's changed.
No. I my other children bought a pair of skates for my youngest daughter because she might have only been about three or four at the time, and she didn't like it. None of my other children liked it very much at all. It was just those two.
Sometimes it happens. If you've got an older sibling who's good at something, you're just starting, you think that's their area, we'll do something else.
Yes, well, she had an older brother, older brother, and no, he was very stiff-legged on roller skates, didn't like it one bit, but he did become quite a good sportsman in other areas.
Okay.
So.
Now, in terms of work then, you were you got married... Did you stop work then? Or?
Yes, I did, because that's what you did in those days. You didn't carry on working.
Okay. So if we've got a slight gap now before there's any other work, we've not mentioned things like the dress code at work. In your early days, those first two jobs that you did, was there a strict dress code, or you just dressed fairly smartly? Or you
could
wear what
you
wanted?
Well, you dressed very tidily. Yeah. You didn't dress like you can today, that, you know, the young ones can go in any old thing, or, as long as it's clean, I presume. Never worked anywhere where there was actually a uniform, which that today sometimes there is.
Yeah.
But no, it was just tidy. But mostly men, especially in the clerical job, would wear a collar and tie.
Yes.
And probably a jacket, you know. My employer always had he always wore a suit. Wore a suit.
Yeah.
And the other men, they wore jackets, collar and tie, and hats. Men wore hats.
Okay.
Yeah. What would you call them? Fedora?
Oh, fedora. Oh, okay.
Not bowler hats.
Not a trilby type or something?
What's a trilby? What's that like?
It's got a bit of a rim around it and... on, not a big
they
rim.
Weren't quite like the British ones had a very small brim, didn't they, which sort of turned up.
Oh, the fedora. I probably
got the wrong name for it, but the men here, the brims were, I haven't got any photographs, I don't think, of my father with a hat on. But my father always wore a hat and a suit and a collar and tie. Even when he was in the garden, sometimes he would wear shirt. Very seldom rolled his sleeves up, but sometimes it'd have to be a very, very hot day when he did.
Yeah.
But he always wore a hat when he was out in the garden, which was probably a good idea.
Yeah, it was common. You know, hats was something that you'd wear, and then there was a long period through, I suppose, the certainly maybe 60s and 70s and onwards when you didn't. And now there's more you should be wearing hats because of the sun, I think.
That's right. But they would wear a dress hat. You know, any photographs back in that time, if you went to the races, for instance, you always went dressed up. The men would wear a hat, they'd wear a suit, collar, tie, and a hat.
Yeah.
Women would wear very smart clothes, and they would have gloves, gloves, handbag, and perhaps their hat and shoes would all match.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, you went very smart, you didn't go... Yeah.
Now, did the men use Brill cream in their hair?
Yes.
Yes, they did. I remember even the lounge suites, the armchairs and the settees, they'd have a special piece of cloth
over the
back because you put a thick layer of Brill cream on to hold everything in place. But.
Well, my husband had very wavy hair, very nice hair, and yes, they did use Brill cream. His brother, on the other hand, had straight hair, but he used Brill cream as well.
Mm.
That's what they did.
Yes.
Yeah. And he always used it.
Yeah.
So men did, but wasn't it the fellas in the Air Force were the Brill cream boys?
I haven't heard that. Probably, I don't know, but certainly in Britain it was, you know, basically all adult men, or most, I think, as far as I know, would use Brill cream.
Yeah.
And then that sort of died out, I suppose, around the time of the Beatles and the Stones and so on in the 60s, where you got the Beatles came in with a different hairstyle that was still fairly smart, but... longer hair.
That's
and
right.
In fact, because I was growing up then, the idea of wearing a shirt that wasn't just plain white, or if you were being a bit daring, maybe blue or grey, and suddenly you got
straights
with stripes and checks and things, and that was or you were being a real rebel by wearing something like that. Yeah.
Yes. But. Well, around about the Beetle area, I know that my sons had very long hair. You know, maybe down to here.
Down to the shoulder length hair.
Yeah, plus they had curly hair, which made it look like a bush.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was then.
Now, so there was a... for men, they would wear shirt and tie and some, probably a suit for work. For women, it was just something smart, dress or skirt, blouse, cardigan. You had quite a range of clothes you could wear, but they just had to be tidy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you wouldn't wear, to go and work in an office, you wouldn't wear what you might wear if you were going to go to the races or go to a wedding or something, you know, a bit smarter than that.
Yeah.
But yes, you didn't wear...
You wouldn't wear slacks or jeans or anything like that.
No, jeans weren't the thing right there and then for women.
Yes.
Men wore them sometimes, but... Mm. I don't know where that fly came from. No, they didn't wear slacks. Yeah. Maybe they did in the country.
They would all be wearing a skirt or dress and stockings or...
Yes, you wore stockings.
High heels or flat shoes?
Well, that would depend a bit on your job as to whether you wanted to wear high heels, but you always wore smart shoes. You didn't wear sneakers. Or trainers or whatever they can wear today.
Yeah.
You know, they were just not in. You could wear flats, but they still looked like a court shoe.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I remember, I know, I'm just thinking perhaps some of my aunts or women my aunt's age, they were born sort of early 1900s, I suppose. And maybe when they were young, they'd be wearing high heels. And as they get older, they feel... You have to be wearing high heels, and they were actually very damaging for your feet because all the weight was pushed forward into the toe, and the feet
got
quite deformed from that. I don't know if it was probably quite bad for the legs as well.
Well, one of the part-time jobs I had when was in the school holidays, and my mother seemed to get these jobs for me, and I was working in Woolworths, which was in Broadway at the time. It was a sort of what would you call it, department store? No, because it was just a shop that sold...
sort of general store?
But it didn't sell things like food or...
Yeah, okay.
Or like the supermarkets.
That's right, they had two names, didn't they? I think there was the food type store and the produce store in the same... And
well, there were grocers and there were co-ops that were like a grocery store. They were all around the place, the co-ops. But I had this job in Woolworths and the tea room was actually upstairs. The stairway was very, very narrow. Anyway, this particular day I had helped myself to a pair of my sister's shoes, which were a leather lace-up, and one heel was a little bit loose. They were not high heels, but they were higher. No. They were about that.
About 3 or 4 centimetres, maybe.
Yeah. They weren't flat.
A wedge type.
No, they weren't a wedge. No. They were a proper heel. Anyway, I'd gone up to have a morning tea, I suppose, but coming down, the heel caught, and I was fairly near the top of the stairs, and I went head first down the stairs and landed on the concrete at the bottom.
Oh, nasty.
Knocked me a bit silly. They've been silly ever since. So anyway, my sister was really annoyed that I'd taken her shoes without asking, which I had done. And when I said, well, I'd fallen down the stairs, she told me it served me right. Served you right.
Now, you said your mother found you these jobs, but what was the normal process for getting a job? Was it... through jobs were advertised or personal connections, word of mouth? Did you have interviews?
Usually I think they were advertised, probably in the paper. My parents used to get the paper, daily paper. Oh, there's somebody advertising for whatever. And you could go along and say, you know, that you wanted to... you'd seen the ad in the paper for, we'll say, a typist. They'd seen an ad in the paper for a typist, and then they would give you an interview and ask, you know, what qualifications you did actually have.
Yeah.
You may be asked to do a short test, which I had to do at one job, which I didn't get, but I'd gone to this was many years later, a place in Grey Street. And the person interviewing asked me to type out a couple of short letters, which I did do, and then said, you know, well, your desk, that would be your desk there, and showed me all around the place, and I thought it all looked very promising. And then 2 days later, I got a letter to say that the position had been filled and I hadn't been successful. But as the interview was going, I thought that I had. That sort of indicated that I had. However, didn't matter.
It's one of those tricky things. I've got to sound fairly positive for people on the way through in case they do offer them the job in the end.
Well, usually there wasn't just one person. There would be, well, I suppose at that time there might be 4 other people would go for the same job.
Yes.
And what they chose them on, I'm not sure. But at various jobs that I have had, one I got because I was tall. Another one I got because I didn't smoke. Those two I can remember anyway.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.